وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الإنسان لربه لكنود. وقال تعالى: ما يفعل الله بعذابكم إن شكرتم وآمنتم وكان الله شاكرا عليما. صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, in a very famous surah of the Quran Sharif, Surah Adiyat, it comes in the last 20 surahs. Many of us who have had the good fortune of attending a madrasa, maktab, afternoon madrasa, would have come across the surah, and many of us recite it in our salah, so it's something that is familiar to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these verses of the Quran Sharif, Allah ta'ala sets a scene, He paints a scene, a very vivid scene. Allah ta'ala starts off by taking a qasam. And we as human beings, we can only take a qasam in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person takes a qasam, wallahi, he takes a qasam in Allah ta'ala's name. He takes an oath. We as human beings, we can only take an oath on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is the greatest, He is the creator. So we are taking an oath in the one who is the greatest. Right? We cannot take an oath on any other creation of Allah. This is not permissible. We can't take an oath on the sun, the moon, some trees or plants. But in the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah ta'ala wants to take an oath, He wants to draw our attention to something, then because there is nothing greater than Allah ta'ala, there's nothing greater than Allah. Allah is the greatest. Allah ta'ala is the most high. So Allah ta'ala takes an oath on His creation. Many a times, وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. Allah ta'ala is taking an oath on the mornings, the dawn and the night. In this verse also, Allah ta'ala is also taking an oath. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَى. Allah ta'ala takes an oath on those horses that are running at full pace. And when they are running at full pace, they are breathing heavily. I don't know if anybody has seen a horse galloping. And it's breathing heavily. And it snorts out of its nostrils. It makes like a snorting sound. Allah ta'ala is painting a picture that I take an oath on those horses. Who I'm adding the explanation now. The snorting horses. Those horses that are flying at full pace. They are giving their all. The master is sitting on the horse and he's galloping that horse. And the horse is giving its full 100%. Running as fast as it can. And in the process his heart and his chest and all is beating. And it is snorting. Air is pumping in and out of its nostrils. So Allah Ta'ala says, by the snorting of those horses that fast pace breathing of the horses. Well, muriati qadha. And now when these horses are not in our roads but now in a place where they use horses regularly, you'll see that if there's stones on that road and the horse is galloping very, very fast, sometimes the hoof and the horse strikes the stone and it produces a spark. Sparks fly. Because the hoof of the horse is got made of metal sometimes. You know, they put the metal hoof or the shoe onto the hooves of the horse. Alright? So this, Allah Ta'ala is drawing this picture for us. Picture this horse that is galloping. It's breathing heavily. And it's riding so fast that as its shoes are hitting the ground, it's hitting the stones, sparks are flying also. This is how much of pace this horse is riding with. فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْهَا فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبَحَا. Now which horse this is that Allah Ta'ala is describing? It's the horse that's in the army. The horse, the riders of which are fighting in some battle or out in the path of Allah. And they're riding these horses in the dawn. You know, now we hear also of raids, air raids at the dawn, early part of the morning when people are sleeping, they bomb them. So in the early part, it's a surprise tactic that you come in the dark. So in the early part of the morning, these people are riding these horses at full pace. And when it's dark, you can see those sparks. When it's dark, the sun hasn't fully risen. So those hooves, when they are hitting the ground, you can see those sparks in this early part of the morning. فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعَى. And they're riding so fast that now, after they have even passed a certain area, we can see a whole trail of dust in the desert or in a very sandy place. When the horses are running and they are galloping, then behind them you can see they're leaving a trail of dust also. This is the pace at which those horses are moving. فَوَسَطْنَ بِهِ جَمْعًا. And at the same time, with the master directing this horse, giving its full effort, the master sometimes directs this horse into the battlefield, into the traffic, we say. People are lining up in this battle. Somebody is on a horse and he's riding this horse into the thick of the battle. That horse can see that there are people standing with spears, with swords, with whatever weapons. But the master is pulling the horse in that direction. It is galloping at its full pace, knowing fully well that also I could get struck and I could be injured in this process. It runs straight into the traffic at the order of the master. فَوَسَطُنَ بِهِ جَمْعًا. And then after this, Allah Ta'ala then says something to us for us to reflect on. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ. That verily, man is very, very ungrateful. Man is very, very ungrateful. So now, we're thinking, how does this relate? What was Allah Ta'ala trying to show us by this incident, by this example, by this picture that was set up before us? So those horses, anybody who knows, we feed the horse a small paltry amount of food. The horse doesn't get much choice in what he gets to eat. I don't know if any of you have seen a horse that orders a certain meal for breakfast, lunch and supper. We don't get like that. Whatever the master wants to give the horse to eat, he eats. Whatever the master gives the horse to wear as a saddle, sometimes eye goggles or something to keep it warm, that's what it wears. Wherever the master asks the horse to reside, that this is going to be your shed, he doesn't ask for a hotel suite or he doesn't have that ability. Wherever the master tells it to reside, he resides. So Allah Ta'ala is drawing us this example of this horse. That this horse, oh man, look at this horse that you have under your control. Whatever you give it to eat, it eats. Whatever you give it to drink, it drinks. Whatever you give it to wear, it wears. Whatever you ask it to do also, it does. That even if it looks difficult also, but it gives you 100% support. And it is willing also to sacrifice its life for you. Oh man, verily man, you have become very, very ungrateful. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ. That very man to his Rabb, that drawing that comparison to us, that we to our Creator are very, very ungrateful. Why? Allah Ta'ala has not just given us one thing to eat. We have choices in what we get to eat. We choose what we're going to wear. Allah Ta'ala has provided us so many different types of accommodation. We have few laws that we have to fulfill. But many things we do according to our own desire. That Allah has said that all these things are permissible. You may do it as and when you please. We visit sometimes. We travel sometimes. We do so many activities that are in accordance with our own desires. But where do we find, when we are given the opportunity, when we look at the commandments of Allah Ta'ala that has been placed upon us, then we are found wanting. We're so far away from that horse which obeys every command of its master. We are so far away from that horse in our relationship with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Under this verse, the Mufassirin have mentioned this word kanud has many meanings. This word kanud, inna al-insana li rabbihi la kanud. So, one of the scholars, he mentioned that kanud is the one who he counts his calamities that befall him. And he forgets the favors of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That what is the meaning of kanud, this ungratefulness? Somebody will ask you, how do you describe ungratefulness? How am I ungrateful to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? So the scholars have mentioned that this word kanud, it refers to someone who counts all the calamities in his life. You meet someone, Assalamu alaikum, how are you, bhai? Hey, tough times. First thing you're talking about, tough times. I'm not saying there's no tough times. Each and every one of us must look at our own self. People ask us how things are going. Do we first enumerate all the calamities that we are going through? Hey, don't have this, don't have that. This is not going right, that's not going right. When we meet our friends, is this like a complaining session? Each one is bemoaning his wife, his children, his job, everything. That's all he does. He moans. And he does not count the blessings of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. There was one pious personality. Someone had asked him, how are you keeping? How are you feeling? He was sick. Someone asked him, how are you keeping? How are you feeling? So he said, my eyes are functioning well. My hearing is good. My speech is good also. I'm not feeling hungry, but I got a little bit of fever. Make dua for my fever. Allah Ta'ala take my fever away. So we don't have to answer like that, but he was, in his mind, he always reflected over all. He found it hard to just talk about what is going wrong, that he's got fever, when Allah Ta'ala has given him so many other ni'mats, so many other bounties. So, the first meaning of kanud is that we count the calamities. We're supposed to be counting our blessings. We say count your blessings in English, count your blessings. What we do is we count our calamities, things that are not going well. And we forget all the things that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is giving us. The second meaning of kanud is the person, he uses the bounties of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in a manner that is displeasing to him. He uses the bounties of Allah Ta'ala in a manner that is displeasing to him. Sometime before, with Allah's grace, I have explained this here, but in short, that every single bounty of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is given to us like a gift. Any father who gives his son something to use, he lends him his car, or even if he buys him a car also, buys him a car, when he gives him that car, if that son really wants to show appreciation for that car, then he will take care of it, he will use it in a manner that is befitting of the car, he won't just do donuts and all with it and burn the tires out, because that's not what the cars are made for. He'll use it to go to work, to go to the masjid. But now if he starts taking that car and he picks up his friend and his father has to go and fetch him in the middle of the night from some club or some prostitute quarters, or he doesn't service that car, he doesn't look after that car, he drives at a speed all the time, knocking it here and there. doesn't take care of it, then will we say he was grateful for this car? That his father gave him this car, will we say he is grateful? See, no, he doesn't even appreciate this thing. Father gave it to him, such an expensive thing, and then the father sometimes, he needs some errands to be run, he's unavailable with that very same car to assist the father, take his mother to do some shopping. It's unavailable all the time. So in the same way, Allah Ta'ala has given us this eyes, Allah Ta'ala has given us ears, He's given us a tongue. And the gratefulness for each and every one of these ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala is by using it correctly. One part of that gratefulness is by using it correctly. The ulama state that we must express shukr to Allah Ta'ala, verbally also. Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, I make shukr to you. I'm grateful to you that you gave me my faculties are in order. Especially we are reminded daily, we see so many people in situations and in conditions that are more difficult than ours. If you want to remain shakir, grateful, is always look at those people that have less than you. The ulama states that with regards to our spiritual condition, how much we are doing to please Allah Ta'ala, our good deeds, we must look at those people that are doing more than us. Then we won't be complacent. Sometimes we just read few salah, and then we look at those people that are not doing salah, we got a lot to say. We must look at the people above us, who are doing more than us. And as far as the worldly ni'mats are concerned, how much of wealth I've got, what car I got, what job I got, then look at those people that have less than you. Then you will always remain grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at those people that have more than you, your thirst will never be quenched. Your thirst will never be quenched. And this dunya is not a place where everybody gets the most. The society won't function also. It's the system of Allah that He gives more to some and some have a little bit of less. This is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the gratefulness for every ni'mat is to express it to Allah, this gratefulness. That, Ya Allah, I'm making shukr to you. When we see people that have less than us, turn towards Allah Ta'ala and express your gratitude to Allah. But with that, lip service is not sufficient. If you just, the son just told the father, hey, Jazakallah pops for this car. Abba really liked this car. And immediately the next moment, he does what the father told him not to do with the car. What will the father say? He just tells me one thing, he does another thing. As I turn my back, he does his own thing afterwards. He's not really grateful. It's the same. Our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the same. We say, Ya Allah, I make shukr to you for these eyes. I make shukr to you for these hands, for this tongue. The Jummah today, we'll say that. Then we go home, then we abuse our wife. We swear them. We pick up our hand and we assault other people. We hit people. Unjustly. So then what is that? Each and every one of us must look at our own actions. What are we doing with the limbs and the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, with the limbs that Allah Ta'ala has provided, with the ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has provided? Lastly, Imam Tirmidhi Rahmatullahi Alayhi has mentioned that the third meaning of kunud is that the person, he uses the bounties of Allah, but he forgets the giver of the bounties. He uses the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. The one who gave him. That you don't find any remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his life. And I'm not talking about remembrance, meaning we must be making dhikr all the time. That is not actually even maqsood, not even an objective, that all the time the person must be in dhikrullah. So impossible. Person has to do his job, he has to sleep also, he has to eat. Person can't be eating and making dhikr simultaneously, his mouth is full also at some point. What does it mean to be in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7? It means that whatever commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directed to me, at that point in time, that I fulfill it. So if he wakes up in the morning, at the moment he wakes up, So he remembers that Allah Ta'ala gave him life. Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana ba'dama matana wa ilayhi nushur. That, Ya Allah, all praise is due to you, that after you gave me life after giving me death. Sleep is a type of a death. When we go to sleep, we don't even know what's happening around us. And then we wake up. Allah Ta'ala is the one who makes us awake in the morning. So we thank Allah for giving us another day. Then what does that person do now? He woke up, it's Fajr time. What command is directed at him now? Is that he must turn towards Allah and perform his first salah of the day. Now if the person goes and he watches, he goes outside and he does some other task or anything. He fulfills his time doing something else and the sun rises. Then he didn't remember Allah. He didn't remember Allah. Because that remembrance of Allah would have taken him to perform that salat. Then he went to have his breakfast. So when he sees the food that Allah Ta'ala has provided for him, whatever it may be, even if it's one slice of bread, but he knows that this bread came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I take the name of Allah when I eat. Bismillah wa ala barakatillah. I take the name of Allah. And he eats. I eat with the right hand. I sit and I eat. I remember Allah that he's the giver of this ni'mat. Person is leaving the home, he's going to work. How he speaks to his wife, how he speaks to his children. He's got an amanat, he's got a job, he has to be there at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. That's the deal, that's the agreement that he has made with someone. The remembrance of Allah is to be at that job on time. That is the request. If, brothers, I'm talking about myself also, we separate our ibadat from the rest of our life. Islam doesn't teach us this. Everything that we do in our lives is the worship of Allah. Everything, for a Muslim, everything he does is the worship of Allah. As long as he does it in accordance with the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. The person who is going to work every day also, if his intention is, he's going to earn a halal rozi, halal rizq he's going to earn. He's not going to work in a casino. He's not going to work in a place where they are doing gambling or they are working with interest dealings. He's going into a place where they're going to do a halal job. They're not selling alcohol, they're drugs. They're making some product or he's going to do some kind of service, cleaning, whatever it may be. But he's going there, he says, Ya Allah, I'm going to do a halal job, something that is pleasing to you. And why am I doing this job? Because you have commanded me. It's the farz out of, after all the farais, to earn a halal rozi. To look after my wife, my children, my parents. This is my responsibility. So even though he's going to work, but that work will be ibadat, he will be rewarded for going to work. Which Allah are we going to find better than Allah? Where can we find an Allah like this? A creator like this, who will reward us even for going to work? Every single action. So much so that even Sahaba radhi Allahu anhum, they were surprised. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them, if you have relations with your wife also, you'll be rewarded. They said, oh Nabi of Allah, but we are getting enjoyment in that relationship with our wife. In that personal relationship with our wife, we're getting enjoyment. We are fulfilling our desires. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them that, wouldn't you have gotten a sin if you went and fulfilled those desires with someone that you are not married to? So they said, yes. So now they understood. So even if a person is doing some action of the dunya, but he does it in accordance with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is ibadat, it is rewarding. That's why a Muslim doesn't have to become pious, he doesn't have to leave the society. To become righteous and pleasing to Allah, he doesn't have to go to some mountain or hide in some cave and just do some rituals or prayers and society and from the world. No. He's an integral part of the society. He's an integral member of the society. He's part of the workforce. He's part of the defense. He's part of those that are looking after the elderly, the sick. Every aspect of the society you will find a Muslim is there. But one thing, He does it in accordance with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this way, if we want to be grateful to Allah, we want to be grateful to Allah, in other verses of the Quran Sharif, we just read one or two, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. Allah Ta'ala says that why would Allah Ta'ala punish you? Why would you, Allah Ta'ala punish you if you are grateful? If you are grateful, why would Allah Ta'ala punish you? Showing us that what is gratitude? If you are grateful, you'll do the right things, and that is a sign of your gratitude to Allah. Why would Allah Ta'ala punish someone like that who is grateful to Him? Allah Ta'ala is Shakir. He Himself is grateful. He appreciates the efforts that His bandas make, His servants make. Allah Ta'ala appreciates it. It's not that Allah Ta'ala just waits for us to do good deeds. He appreciates it. He gets happy. He acknowledges it. He is willing to reward. When you appreciate someone, you appreciate something somebody gave to you, then you reward them also. Even though it doesn't benefit Allah Ta'ala at all. When our ibadah can't benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. There's nothing we can give to Allah. But Allah Ta'ala takes these actions that are pleasing to Him and He rewards on behalf of it. He will give a person a reward in this world and in the hereafter. In another verse, Allah Ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَكَفُورٌ. Allah Ta'ala says that He is the one who gave you life. He is the one who will also give you death. And then you will also be given, resurrected after that. Allah Ta'ala is talking to us in summary of our whole existence, that we were given life, someday we'll be given death, and then we'll be given life again when we rise on the day of Qiyamah. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَكَفُورٌ. Verily, man is ungrateful. That if you know that your existence, you didn't make an application to exist, Allah Ta'ala is the one who gave you an existence. Naturally, just that was sufficient for us to be grateful. Allah Ta'ala didn't need to give us any other ni'mats after that. Just giving us an existence meant that we needed to be loyal to Him till our dying day. Allah Ta'ala grant me tawfiq, and grant you tawfiq, and the entire ummah tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.